Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real.
Yes, we are back at it. No days off, no weeks off, no months off.
This is live. We are to you live right now.
It's not live.
We are taped. We are so taped.
So taped.
We are like beyond taped
the
right
most
now.
Taped.
Knicks taped.
Wow. Undefeated and 12.
That's right. You know what is live?
We're going to be live.
We're going to be so live on February 23rd. At SOB's here in New York City, you can expect us rapping on stage, new music, old music. We're going to be telling hilarious stories like you hear on this very here podcast. We're going to bring a special guest or a million. So buy your tickets right now. Now is the time. And where do you go, Jeff?
You can go to itsthereal.com today.
Right. Tickets are on sale right there. itsthereal.com.
But you want to know what? You know, they know the podcast, obviously. They're listening to the podcast.
Yes, live.
But people might not know, like, the music that we're talking about.
They don't know the bars.
They might not know the bars.
They might not know the beats.
They might only know DeBarge.
If you only know DeBarge, then you're in for a treat.
Yeah, here's a slight taste.
A mini mix.
A mini mix?
A mega mix.
A mega Chex mix.
Here's some It's the Real music, live.
Too much sauce. We're cooking up with mayo. Hit the block, earthquake, go. Insurance for the way I flood the sicko. All the way to the bank, up in my AO. Everything is so lit. Wake up.
It's the Real.
Featured in the New York
motherfucking
Times.
The paper record.
Everything is so lit. Wake up. Every day is Easter when I rock my Jesus piece. Women love my neck. Call them chicks by Jesus peace. Celebrating Christmas clubbing with them Jesus freaks. Got my chain screaming out juice for Jesus peace.
Body like a Chevrolet. Deep fried and double wide. But she got a toe to push around in the wheelbarrow. Body like a Chevrolet. Deep fried and double wide.
I got Dave Matthews Bands.
Bands to make a dancing Nancy.
Dave Matthews Bands.
Bands to make a dancing Nancy.
Dave Matthews Bands. Disrespect for money. Paper keep cutting my hands. Counting white faces.
Yo, it's the Real. You're the only motherfucking white people I fuck with. Nancy. Ha!
Matthews Bands.
Bands to make a dancing Nancy.
Dave Matthews Bands. Disrespect for money. Paper keep cutting my hands. Counting white faces. I got Dave Matthews Bands.
Bands to make a dancing Nancy.
Dave Matthews Bands.
Bands to make a dancing Nancy.
Dave Matthews Bands.
Fire in a crowded room. Get the hose. Fire in a crowded room. Get the hose. Fire in a crowded room. Get the hose.
Oh, girl, I like that ass on fire. Beat the pipe, pick a pack of bitches, then he penetrated. No, I had to make it knees work till I elevated. Aviator shades, chest out, looking hella Vegas. Jump passy when the shit get messy. I'ma call my cousin Vinny, Michael Douglas in a Denny's. My bitch be cool like Sam Jackson. Be cool. Clumsy bitch like Anne Hathaway. Jinx Maze goes with the ass tap. Four when the face turn eight if the ass fat. Add two to it, she a ten with a fifth of jack. Tip your tap face in a fight with a titty tap. Niggas know me. Raunchy and nasty. I only put lotion on my arms, rest ashy. Beat down J's, but she's still so impressed. Little blunt, now this bitch on fire. Hit the exit, get the hoes.
Fire in the crowd.
Hey, what up? It's the one only DJ Drama. Bastards. I just want to give a quick shout out to my guys. It's the Real. Button up. Or lay the fuck down.
But I'm always at the fight. Meet you out back, no rules, just right. Hard body, my arms are noodles, manicotti. But I can beat up kids as long as they don't take karate. You want heat? Well, I'll turn it up a notch. Catch bodies like a fireman on suicide watch. Skinny is a rail, but my Uzi's weigh a ton. So I'm throwing more hands than a girl on PH1.
Strapped like a baby seat in my BW van. My power pellets get you going.
knows the way that I pack, man. Attitude like Napoleon and dynamite in my hands. When my llamas get to spitting, I'm like, Tina, eat your ham. Any jokers try to step up to my Camelot, watch your mouth or you'll get touched up like Photoshop. I'm a socialist, free ticket to the gun show. Be my pacifist, Glock 9 and Calico. Like tank tops, I bear arms, used to set up shop on back blocks with crack rocks. Now I bring fury to laptops with rap songs. Neil Armstrong, all bars out of space. Our arms are strong, your arms out of shape. Y'all lightweight, I'm heavyweighted. I'm like Christmas, I'm celebrated in every state. When we come out, the girlies wanna come, cause the dough never run out. Unlimited bars, yeah, the flow never run out. When I pull a gun out, y'all better run out. Run out. I'm a rap star with the heat out. Heat out. Might sleep with your girl, but never eat out. Summertime, no doubt. Arms always be out. Team early just murdered the track. Now we out.
Oh, baby.
DJ fucking bitch.
I'm coming.
February 23rd, 2017, SOBs in New York City. Tickets are on sale for your girls' tour. It's the real, and special guests, you don't want to miss this. Go get your tickets right now. Who is on the podcast today, Jeff?
Yo, we have DJ Bobby Trends, and a lot of people might not know him. A lot of people might know him just from the radio, but his story is amazing.
Shout out to Bobby Trends. He's somebody, and you'll hear on the podcast, who we met a long time ago, who we've seen over the years at different events, but we never really got to sit down and hear his side of things.
To say that he only has one story, like the come up, is to do him a disservice. Like, he has stories, and they're funny, and they're he's just been so many places. It's so good.
It was just awesome.
Yeah.
What a great guy. And you know what he said at the end of the podcast?
That we were great.
That we were great. That he will see us February 23rd at SOBs.
So if you want to see Bobby,
Bobby Trends will be in the building.
Right. The main attraction for coming to our SOBs show is to see Bobby Trends.
It's the Real and Bobby Trends, February 23rd, 2017. Tickets on sale at itsthereal.com right now.
It really should be Bobby Trends and It's the Real, but yeah.
Bobby Trends and It's the Real at SOBs, your girls' tour.
It's Bobby Trends' show. If you want to see him, we'll be there too.
Bobby Trends. In small type, It's the Real.
Yeah.
SOBs, February 23rd, 2017. Tickets on sale now. Itsthereal.com. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Carrier Desert Eagle, a.k.a. Jack Hanna.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Secure the Bag, a.k.a. Turning Cough.
Oh, man. It's that we best boy, Shaky Lock Balls. Hot 97's, I guess, DJ, New York City, Bobby Trends, I'm in the building.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time with It's the Real.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
This is how you start the new year, right?
I love it, man. It's only the first week, and I feel great. You guys have definitely brought my stock up.
Yo, listen, you came in here and you brought a composition book like you would have like in school.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Did you ever see Lil Wayne's book?
Oh yeah.
When he went to jail.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not so going you're going to jail.
Okay.
But it just reminds me of his jail book. One.
It's literally red, just like his.
Just like his. I'm gonna get a black marker and I'm gonna put a bunch of shit on there. And I also just I'm starting kind of like a journal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had a journal, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm in jail.
Did Drake sleep with your girl while you were in
jail? No, man. Definitely not, man.
I mean, y'all know what? Honestly, you never know.
I definitely have some female issues right now, man. That shit wasn't funny.
Happy 2017.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man. Exactly right, you just ripped my heart out of my fucking chest.
That's what this whole podcast is going to be about.
Yeah, just let's get real deep with Bobby Trust.
Yeah, man.
So, what did you end up doing on New Year's? Were you working?
Yeah, man.
How many years has it been since you had like a New Year's to yourself?
I haven't in more than 10 years, I want to say.
You've been working all that time?
Yeah.
So, this year was at where?
This year, I actually, during the day, I was able to see my son, who I've been having issues with his mom. So, it's been like 3 months that I haven't seen him, and I just started to see him again. So it was like the third time I saw him, like in 2 weeks.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I got to see him. I took him to like this kids arcade funplex thing.
Yeah.
And we rode like amusement like games, the rides and shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm screaming all over the place. I put it on my Instagram video feed, whatever shit. Yep. And then I dropped him off, and I did a club in Jersey, which was amazing. Bliss, probably 1,500 people. I was scheduled to be there at 1 o'clock, but I wanted to bring in the new year with friends and in a club. So
right.
At 12 o'clock, I took over. I grabbed the microphone from whoever the DJ was. I don't even know his name.
Wow.
And we did the wow. countdown. Yeah. And then we had a great time, and after that, we went to a strip club in Queens and did it up with the strippers, man. It was fun. We threw some money and played some good music and chilled out, man.
When is it too late to play Ball Drop by Fab and French?
It, not yet.
Okay.
Like, I
1201.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. But you can't like wish people Happy New Year anymore. Yeah. Like past.
Well, no, you can't. No, I played it on the radio Friday night because I also was on the radio. Friday, Saturday. When was New Year? Saturday.
Yes.
So I played it Saturday on the radio and just kind of just hyping things up, even though it was only 2 p.m.
Yeah.
You know. But in the club, I actually didn't play it at all.
Really?
You know. I was just in another zone, man. I was playing like. The hell was I playing? I was playing Before I Let Go, and you know, like barbecue music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Because all the DJs before me tried to murder me and play like everything else, but that doesn't bother me because I like being creative and going left and making people have a good time. So the good time happened when I got there. You want to hear the same shit all the time, or you want to hear, you know?
I want to hear Ball Drop on
repeat.
Shit.
Ball Drop repeat. Did you see the Ball Drop video?
Yes.
Everybody, listen. Go watch it again.
Okay.
And pay attention to it. You might have to freeze frame French Montana, but he's wearing my Shake the Blockchain in the video.
You let him borrow it?
Yeah.
That's dope.
It was pretty cool. I actually set up the venue.
Really?
So Fab called me and he said, hey, I, you know, what club? He knows I do a lot of uptown clubs. He said, what club uptown can we use? And I said, oh, man. I said, this is a club called Cliff. It has this huge ball. It's the biggest ball. It's the biggest ball I've ever seen. The biggest single
only
ball.
One, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, you know.
So you had the hookup there.
Yeah, so they came during the day. It was really cool.
Did you say, like, I have one condition, and it's to, you know, wear the shake the block?
No, I kind of, like, I looked at him, and I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you throw this on? You know, matter of fact, I didn't even do it. I told my guys to go over there, so my guys went over there.
To muscle him?
I mean, it may have seemed like that. But I know he didn't take it that way, but he, you know, because we're friends.
Yeah.
But it just looked better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's going to see. He might have said no to me, man, but he wasn't going to say no to them. So shout out to French, man. That's my guy.
Who's the most, like, reliable rapper for you?
Reliable? Yeah. Well, Cal's not a rapper, but he's the most reliable, I want to say, in the game. Like, I can, like, I called him, like, during the birth, and he was like, look! I was like, holy shit! You're not supposed to show that! You know,
I'm sure his wife was thrilled.
Yeah, she's thrilled, man. Him, I want to say him, man. And then I want to say French after that. French is good at picking up the phone. You know, Khaled, I've known since he was the Arab Attack when he used to be a reggae DJ.
Whoa.
You know, I've known him for a long time.
How'd you meet him?
Fat Joe always spoke about him to me and Flex. At the time, I was working for Flex, doing his car shows and running his mixtapes in the street. And he was putting on New Pit Bulls, which was the DJ team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking for a Miami DJ. So Jay Grand, you guys know Jay Grand.
Yeah, you do.
He was doing music marketing for us at the time. So he knew all the DJs and who was hot. So he... No one knows this, and probably the DJ probably doesn't even know it, but I'll bring it up. Jay Grant was pushing for DJ Irie.
Huh.
And Flex was like, Irie's okay. Like, I think he's a good DJ, blah, blah. He doesn't fit the you know, the
right.
mold.
Yeah.
You know, the Pit Bulls were all like, we were all like kind of like bullies a little bit. And he seemed to be
Irie's
very,
like, clean.
A little soft. He's soft. Nah, he's a good guy. He's best with him. But I think that... So Fat Joe kept talking about it. We didn't know who he was, and then we were sitting there watching Tigger
on
in the
TV.
Basement
yeah.
on BT, and there was this Arab dude sitting there grabbing the camera and shaking. He was like, it's the Arab Attack! It's the Team Novocaine, the Tepper Squadian, the DJ Khaled, the Dog God Gone, the Dog God. It was crazy, and we both just stood up. We were like, it's him. We were like, get him on the phone. Joe, we need Joe. Somebody call Joe. So we called Joe. He was like, You watching BT? I told you. I said, so Flex, I was like, Flex, that's the one, man. Look, I'm getting chills right now talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because he changed my life, too. He gave me the energy that I have. Him and Kid Capri.
Yeah.
Like, as showmen.
So you called him up. You said, we want
he
you
got
to...
On, he, you know he doesn't get on planes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He found a way to New York in 24 hours and was in the Hot 97 studio. Flex put him on, and he was... walking around, he was just like, "It's me, I'm here." Yo, when the GOD, DJ Khaled, and we were like, "Ooh!" Flex is dropping Bob, the new Pitbull, and that's how it started.
Always been the same. Same guy, never changed.
Having breakfast,
yeah.
You know, like with no sleep,
yeah.
He's like, "Oh man, we just gotta win, man. These eggs are great." Like, he's just like, he's just like that.
Are you ever just like, "Yo, enough"?
No, at first, in the beginning, it was rough for me because I'm like, you know, like how some people in the music industry, they're not very genuine,
mm-hmm.
right?
What?
We call it like
the two of them.
Oh, my God. I'm in trouble. But it's just like, you know how guys are like, oh, man, you killed it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Why are you doing that to me?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, but he's just like, Trans. The second I see him, he's like, Trans, man, they want you, man. They love you in the streets. The streets loves you. You are the streets. And I'm just like, why are you doing this to me? That's not right, man. Like, what he, and I look at him like, no, he really means it. Like, it's amazing. Like, his energy is different.
I feel it's
unbelievable sometimes.
I feel like it's the same way when I meet people from, like, other parts of the country. I'm just like, oh, I don't understand what people are like when they're nice. Like,
that's weird. But you know what? Like, as being here from New York,
yeah,
we feel like somebody, like, it's a sham. Like, somebody's trying to, like... You know, like...
Jerk us pause.
Yeah, right. Man.
What do you think about getting Khaled on the phone to talk to your son's mother and maybe he can, like, negotiate some sort of, like, better
time? I don't think anybody can help that woman, man. I'm sorry, Khaled. Major key won't work. None of that major nothing, man. It won't be good, man.
So, you're originally from Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereabouts?
From Newark.
Newark, New Jersey. Yeah, yeah. Born and raised.
The mean streets.
Yeah?
No, like, really mean. Like, you're from Irvington, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was born in Newark, in the Weekway section of Newark, which is borderline Irvington. So, I had 1 foot in Irvington, 1 foot in Newark.
Yeah.
I went to school in Newark and in Irvington. So, it was just like, I lived in Irvington and hung out in Newark and Irvington, went to school in both, and it was just like, you know.
Any siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger brother and an older sister, and I have two half sisters, one that I never met that I just found out about maybe a couple years back.
Really?
Yeah, and
who hipped you to her?
My mom. She was like, so your dad? I was like, oh man. And she lives like in another country. I'm just like, this is crazy, man.
What country?
In Ecuador.
Wow.
South America. Yeah,
are any crazy. Have you reached out? Have you spoken?
No, it's weird, man. She like hit me on Facebook or something, and she was like, hi, little brother. I was like, who the fuck is that? I was like, what? I was like, why does she look like my like real sister a little bit?
Crazy.
Straight, my father has strong genes. We all have big noses and
wow.
shit. So it's kind of crazy.
Are you Jewish?
No, actually, I just found out about 3 months ago that I have Sephardic family from Spain.
This is nuts.
See?
Yeah, welcome to man. The tribe.
I know, yeah.
Kenny's our resident black Jew also.
Oh, right on.
Hey, what about Ebro?
Ebro, well, you know, Ebro's not here, man. He don't roll with me every day, so, you know, Ebro doesn't matter right now.
Oh, for real?
And my present girlfriend is half Jewish.
Oh, well, very nice.
You know, the one who's texting me all crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not nice.
Yeah.
What was life like growing up in Newark? Like,
ooh, I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm actually looking for a writer. Because the things that I went through at an early age, I seem to have blocked a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of like some of the things pop up sometimes. And I'm like, holy shit. Or like when I decide to drive back through that way, like my old block and things like that. I'm like, damn, man. Like, I've seen a lot of crazy things. But I think that it all helped shape me to who I am. So, you know, I don't regret anything. I learned a lot, man. Like, I was the 5-year-old kid walking to the store by myself, watching some guy get his head kicked in, and the paramedics coming and literally taking scissors and cutting his clothes open because that was the procedure for paramedics to make sure that if there's any other wounds. At 5 years old, so that's kind of how my movie starts.
And does your sister give you a heads up on like what life is like?
My sister was a homebody, you know, and if she did come out, she did have this one fat white girlfriend named Diana that used to be like her bodyguard. They used to like fart on people and spit at people. She's going to be in the movie too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be kind of funny. You know
Diana
what I'm saying?
Diana seems great.
Yeah, man. But my sister, she always supported. My sister, although she's older than me, always kind of like my little sister. Because I was always in the street and mm-hmm. she wasn't. Like I was street smart, so I always try to take care of her. And she knew about my love for music from when it started. So she was a big support system on that. Like her first, we had a house party in the basement when she graduated eighth grade, and she had me come with her to the record store to pick records.
That's dope.
So it was
she trusted
cool.
your ear that early.
Yeah, and at that point, I figured out that I wanted to be a DJ.
What records were you even like thinking?
Oh man, there were four records. I'm trying to remember the four records, but I know one was like, it was like a Jersey club song. It was called "Jack Your Body." It was like doom doom, jack your body, boom boom. So it was like house music and shit like that. That I think it was like, you gotta wanna be with no, if you wanna be with me, you gotta have a J-O-B. Wanna be with me?
Yeah, I said it
backwards, but that one, like it was old songs like that. It was weird.
Did you grow up listening to weird. House music? Because house is part of it, really New Jersey.
Part of it, yeah. It was like I listened to hip hop music first, and then like that Jersey like club music was definitely like huge, like in Newark and Irvington and that whole Essex County area. It was like that. I never even knew, but later people started saying, "Oh, that's the Chicago sound," and I knew nothing about it because I never left Irvington and Newark and didn't know how to, you know. So that was big. And then there was like hip house,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Queen Latifah did like "Coming to My House," mm-hmm. and there was like Fast Eddie. He had some song called "Let's Go" or something, and Jungle Brothers.
Yeah. Yep.
You know. They had those songs, so it was pretty cool to see the mesh. And then I think club music started to get repetitive, and it wasn't as creative anymore. There was like some weird funk with it, and then like you know that '90s, you know, Tribe Called Quest and things like that took over. Mm. You know, because the thing about Jungle Brothers,
you're shitting on the Venga Boys and
oh my god. Those were terrible. But Venga Boys is like MC Hammer, like in the house scene. You know what I'm saying? But what's funny is that if you play Venga Boys now, everybody goes crazy. And if you play MC Hammer right now, like I do a set where I cut up the
yeah.
Everybody's like, "What the fuck?" And they go crazy. But
20-year cycles. Know,
I play Vanilla Ice right now. Everybody loses it. They're just like,
"Play it at
all
New
the
Year's?
Shit that was ridiculous."
Yeah,
I could have.
I dropped a Krayshawn recently, and people went,
"That shit rips." Shit yeah, like, it rips, man. The shit that people always complain about, it was like it had all the attention.
Sure.
So they did something right, you know. And people, you know, fans are critics, man. Everybody has you know opinion, and that's cool. But
people love shitty things.
Yeah,
I think that's
yeah, man.
Yeah. So
that's how we stay in these relationships. We stay in.
Yeah.
It's so, fucked up. I hope she's not listening.
I know, yeah, she a loyal listener. It's the real. So 5 years old, you're seeing things in the streets and you're moving around. Who is like the big influence in your life, like keeping you as straight as you can be?
It was crazy because you know your parents are your first teachers,
right?
And my parents, I thought, were great. Where I grew up, your parents were either victims or hard workers, and my parents were hard workers. Problem was, is they were working so hard that they didn't have an eye on me too much, but they always instilled the right things in me, you know. So when I ended up in the wrong situations, you know, the angel on the right was always like my parents saying,
yeah.
"Hey, be careful, don't do that, or that's not okay." And sometimes I did it anyway. Because my other teachers were all the people that were around me when they weren't. So it was okay to steal a car. It was okay to rob a person. It was okay to like do things like that in accordance to what everybody else was doing because it was so regular.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I'm not saying I did any of those things.
Just, no. Yeah, right. You theoretically.
Know, I'm just saying that, you know, I think that, you know, when you are around something every day, that it becomes regular, you know, you partake sometimes.
How do you see beyond the everyday situations that you're in? How do you know that there's like more to life than whatever your friends are getting into?
Oh, at the time?
Yeah.
Because there were other kids that had parents as hard workers. and there were other kids that, but I just happened to be around most of the victims, you know. It took me until like I got into high school to meet some of those kids that had parents as hard workers, mm-hmm. you know, that's when my life started to change. And then I started to see things like people get murdered in front of me. Mm. So that was like a little crazy, or like just, you know, just seeing, like I had an uncle, man. He's such a fucking crackhead, man. He was just like, well, he's funny and he's okay now.
Okay. So,
shout out to my uncle.
Yeah.
He actually was on drugs for like since he was 13, every drug you could think of. Mm-hmm. And he's been to rehabs and things, and he has a family now and he works. And he may smoke a little weed here and there, but he's definitely off the crack and heroin. And he used to always talk about how, oh man, you gotta let this bitch suck your dick, man. She has no teeth, man. He was like, the gum jobs are the best. I was just like, so, like, it was just, you know, I could walk through this park in Irvington. There was Irvington Park. I'd walk through Irvington Park and see, like, five guys gangbanging a crackhead. Mm-hmm. And be like, hey, little Bobby, come over, because there'd be little Bobby in the hood. Hey, come get some of this. I'm like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I was like, why do I want to partake in that? And what the fuck was going on in your life that you want that?
Yo.
The bitch got two hairs, no teeth, and some weird, like, shit on her face. Like,
I mean, she has five guys on her face. But,
yeah.
That's really rough. I read the crime rate for Irvington was like six times everything else going on in Jersey at that time. So it was just bad. Like insane.
It was pretty bad. I know the state troopers actually had to take over the town at one time because the regular police couldn't handle it. And it was pretty insane. Like I would wake up to my mom saying, can you go downstairs? There's somebody downstairs. And I'm like, wake up, Pop. Well, he's not here. So you got to take care of it. And I'd be like 14. So I'm like, all right. So I go get my bat and I go downstairs and it'd be a crackhead with his foot in the window. You know, so it's just, you know, that was one time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's times my sister at 3 p.m., you know, she said that somebody broke into the house at 3 p.m. and she thought it was me coming home from school.
Holy fuck.
You know, and she'd hide under the bed and call the police who never came. You know, 911 was a joke in our town.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like...
And you're still expected to go to school and...
I actually walk myself to school.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just, like... you know what it is? And I realize a lot. I'm actually preparing to teach a class in my old high school.
That's...
For the summer about... Wow. It's going to be, like, a motivational, like, sociological thing where, like... bringing people from where you're from and telling stories about how they came up and how they got to where they're at.
Wow.
Because I think it's important to be able to connect with the youth and show them examples. It could help them today. It could help them in 6 years because they'll always remember it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the same shit in front of you every day, you're going to do what you see kind of. So, like, why not give them some type of positivity to learn from? Like, you know, I never thought I'd be where I'm at. You know, like, I, you know, as a hard worker, I just thought I was going to just work hard, have 2-3 jobs like I did since I was 15, you know. And we didn't have any people. Let me turn that off. We didn't have any people that, we didn't have any, like, Jersey and, like, New York are so different because in the boroughs you had, like, rappers and superstars and ball players that came up. Like, that people could touch and see. You know, like, for us, it was like we didn't have anybody. I mean, you had Queen Latifah, but it was just like she wasn't, you couldn't really see her.
Right.
You know, you had, like, Naughty by Nature, but it was weird. Like, and it just, you know, like, it wasn't, we were always taught what you saw on TV was fake. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know DJing was real. I thought DJing was like, oh, this shit is fake. Like, it's some movie shit. Like, you have to be an actor. Mm. Like, you know, so, like, you just... did what you knew or what you saw. So for me to, like, get to where I'm at, I want to be able, it was something that touched me, so I want to be able to you know, connect with other people and let them know that it's okay. Like, you know,
when's the first time you actually, like, DJed for the first time?
It was St. Rocco's. I was 14. There was a bunch of kids that I went to high school with. We all wanted to DJ, but none of us had a complete set of equipment. So, like, one person brought a speaker, the person brought that speaker. Everything was mixed match. Turntable was a big ass window fan on top of the amplifier so it wouldn't catch fire. And
you were a DJ crew by necessity.
Yeah. So you had to, but I was the only one that was kind of nice at the time. Well, at least I thought I was nice, you know, but I guess I just had the energy. Mm-hmm. So everybody, like a leader type. Mm-hmm. So everybody kind of just followed behind and rocked, and I set up the sets. Okay, I'm going to do this set, you do that set, you do that set, you know, and it was dope.
And what does that sort of, like, learning to be a DJ entail? Like, are you teaching yourself how to, like, rock with two turntables and use a fader and use instrumentals? And
back then, when I didn't even crack the microphone, it was just about playing the music. And it was just like, especially coming from Jersey with house music, it was all about the blend. Mm-hmm. So I was like, how do you blend these records and then not like clash?
Right.
So that was the concentration. So you had the concentration neck. You sitting there like, you had your neck just tilted to the side with one ear, and you're sitting there listening like, oh man, and you're just like waiting to see if this shit's gonna just come out together nice. I was very nice at blending, like the records would sound like one, you know, and other people always wanted to know how the fuck does he do that. Like, it was so difficult.
It's on the four,
you know. It's on the four. You know, so it was just, you know, that was kind of it, man. And just being able to do better than the person before you or after you. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was, you know, very competitive, you know.
What was the arts program like in your school? Like, did you have any music classes? Like, how did you know any of this?
I definitely played the recorder.
Okay.
You could have been in the could have been the broccoli video.
I never played the recorder and sang like crazy like school songs. And
wait,
shit,
you
like that.
Sang?
Yeah, man. Come on, man. I was pretty nice. I'm just saying
your voice is crazy.
You know, I could have been a member of Menudo. Yeah. Menudo. I'm dead serious. Somebody reached out.
Really?
What? Yeah, I was like, I'm a B-boy, man. I break dance. I don't do that. Fuck all that crazy shit. I'm not wearing shiny shit with my chest showing.
First of all, how did they reach out to you?
Facebook.
There was a kid that never made it, but he was signed to some label that went to school with my sister.
Ricky Martin.
Nah, he was like a black dude that like, he did some type of rap R&B thing. I don't know what it was, but I don't remember. All I remember is him showing me a video of him doing a split on a cafeteria table. She was fucking crazy. And he was just like, he showed me the flyer. He's like, yo, man. He's like, I was at the label today, man. Look, they're looking for the new member of Manula, because you know when they get older, they got to get rid of
the
young one. And I was like, do I look like I want to be part of Menudo? I was like, I ain't gonna do no Menudo. I'm not doing that. Get out of here, man.
How old were you? Were you 18 like Danny Alamante?
I don't remember, man. Well, my sister was in high school. I had to be like 13, 14, something. I was like, man, I'm not doing that shit.
Look out of here, man. So did you?
I'm glad I didn't, man. Those guys got molested, man.
Oh, my God.
And that's not funny, but, right? You know, shit.
So, but instead, are you getting dates around here? You're like really playing different parties, different.
Yeah, are you what's getting molested now? With consent?
No, man. I loved music, but I wasn't planning on making it my career.
Well, were you spending on weekends or like?
I just did random house parties. It was
so
just like
would hit you up?
A house party. Yeah, man. They're like, oh man, Trans, he knows how to DJ, or he has you know, he has this, he has part of the setup, so other DJs would call me like, hey, you got part of the setup, and we link up.
Who had the fan?
So, the fan, it was random, man. Whoever had the fan was valuable, though, man.
No, that's crucial, no fires.
My first turntable I got because I traded it for a moped. No, I'm sorry, no, that's like my first amplifier. I traded a pair of bicycle tires. And a switchblade. And the switchblade is
up.
Yeah, so that's how I got my first turntable. And it wasn't like a Technique 1200. It was like a Technique SL, some D, some shit with the little dial thing instead of the long pause.
Arm?
Yeah, that shit. Whatever. Yes.
Whoa. So you have one turntable.
Yeah.
And no knife.
No knife.
Yeah. And as soon as I gave him the knife, he went across the street and robbed somebody for the sunflower seeds. It was crazy.
Does that make you an accomplice?
I was worried. I was like, holy shit. He's like, you want some? I was like, I don't want your sunflower seeds. And the guy was running down the street. It was terrible.
Holy shit.
All parts of the movie.
Yeah.
I have like so many scenarios and shit that I forget and remember that I have this idea for a book, a stand-up like Broadway thing,
mm-hmm.
like Mike Tyson kind of,
right,
John Leguizamo. He did
one man
cool
show,
ones,
yeah.
Right. Just explaining life and how things went.
Well, let me tell you this: yeah. We had Bodega Bams on here, and yeah. He was talking about how he grew up and the situation that his father, who was the super, like, found himself in, and like what life was like on a day-to-day basis. And he said that he wanted to make his life into a movie.
Yeah.
Someone out there, a listener of ours, has a girlfriend who is a screenwriter. They reached out to Ola, Bam's brother, and now they're working on it. So you put it out into the atmosphere, and hopefully someone out there is...
Yeah, you're sitting with two Jews, and obviously you run the media, you know, all the entertainment
industry. You guys run the fucking world, man. Why do you think I ran up here so quick? Because I only fucking call. The Jews call. I'm coming, man.
So you were Bobby Trends back then?
No, I was Trends.
Okay.
Trends 1.
Trends 1.
The graffiti writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote graffiti.
Where were you,
I was Little Bobby.
Where were you tagging?
I was just all like just Jersey, mostly Newark, Irvington, Jersey City.
But like were you hanging off like tops of buildings?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll tell you what's crazy. On a rooftop, I met a white kid that was so dope. His name was Cause.
Wow.
So crazy, because when we were out, you always just met, like, you see other people, like, oh, he's painting, I wonder who he is, you know, and it was like you knew people by name, not by face. So like, and he wasn't famous at all yet,
right?
Like, it was just like, oh, I heard he's nice. And then one of my guys like, no, he's incredible. And he said, and he's actually like a good kid, and he goes to school for graphics, so like, he's gonna be somebody someday. I know he's gonna be somebody someday.
And you just... Did you see his...
And he smoked us. He's out. He's gone, man. He's out of here, man. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen him since. I saw him once.
When did you... What was the first thing you saw that you realized? You're like, oh, shit. Like, really? Like, was it like, you know, the clips work? Or like, was it like...
Well, the thing is, the more like murals I did and the more we hung out, and the more I visited Jersey City, is where he was from, I started to see more of his stuff.
Right.
But then I started to see his stuff like on a lot of other shit. And I used to go to... what's a Bomb the System is on West Broadway, which is still there. I don't know if it's called Bomb the System anymore, but it's a graffiti store, and you used to go and get graffiti magazines. So it showed you graffiti pieces from around the world, including New York and Amsterdam. It'd be from New York to Amsterdam. So I'd see his shit, and I'm like, damn, this guy's coming up. Like, that's the kid from the rooftop. Holy shit.
Did you ever get caught?
You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah. I got, you know, my face painted, you know, and they let you go. I never really got, like, arrested. They just would fuck with you.
Damn.
You know?
Wait, like, they painted your face?
Painted my face and my clothes. I said, go home to your mom and show her what, you know, what you look like. And I'm like, thanks.
Did you show your mom?
I mean, she knew I was painting already.
Oh.
Like, she'd always be like, why your fingernails look like that? Because it's hard to get this shit off, you know?
Yeah.
So she'd be like, be careful, all right? But I would take her to go see, like, the murals and things, and she appreciated it. She loved it.
Did you ever paint over anyone else's shit?
No, I never did anything disrespectful.
Bobby, it's been a while. You can talk about it.
No, I never... But you know what it was? I wasn't the nicest. Like, I could say it. I was okay. I wasn't great. And I was trying to learn more and try to become better. And I had people that I looked up to. And I'm like, man, if you're going to beef with somebody, you got to be nice, man. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't great. I was okay. You know, like, I practiced it.
Wait, so you did graph. You broke dance?
Yeah, I was the little kid with the hat after all the big guys.
You were in the Missy Elliott video.
I was in the Missy Elliott video. No, that wasn't me.
Your chain was in the Fab video.
But do you DJ? Did you ever rap?
No, I never rapped.
Okay, so it's like the one element, I think, that you didn't do?
Part of me wanted to. You know who I looked up to? I always looked up to Doo-Wop.
Yeah?
Doo-Wop and Kid Capri were my two, like, mixtape guys that I loved. Doo-Wop because he was, like, the cool... He was the cool out.
Yeah.
And Kid Capri was the showman. So, like, Doo-Wop rapped on his mixtapes. You know, his intros and things like that. I'm like, damn, when I make a mixtape, what if I start rapping on my mixtape? That should be hot. You know what I'm saying? But... salute to him, man. Like, it's crazy to see those guys, and now they watch me and they listen to me. It's fucking nuts. Doo-Wop hits me on fucking Instagram. I'm like, who am I? Like, what are you talking about, man? Like,
Trends
Kid,
one.
You know, Kid Capri comes to my parties and watches me DJ. I I don't know if I should talk about that, but me and Capri had a party last year in the Bronx together. And I might have smoked them.
Yeah?
I might have smoked them. I won't get too much into detail, but I have so much respect for you, Kid Capri. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to smoke you, but I had to do it.
Were you just playing Ball Drop on repeat? Like,
I wish it was that easy, man. I wish it was that easy after getting on after you get on after Kid Capri. You gotta do your thing, man. You can't just, you know, play ball drop.
So were you buying two of every record?
The crazy shit was that I wasn't in the beginning, because with house music you didn't need to. Mm. It was about blending again.
Right.
So like and I would practice scratching, but I sucked at it.
Did you do like behind the back stuff?
Nah, man. I never got that nice. I tried, man. But it's so crazy that when I started opening up for Flex, when I got my shot, I used to, like, he went through my crates. He was like, he was on some, y'all just use your records. I'm like, you sure, man? He went through, he's like, why you only got one of everything? The fuck is wrong with you? He's like, you got Dak the record. You don't want Dak the record? I was like, what are you talking about, Dak? What the fuck is a Dak? So I was like, some funny, like, other shit. But so then I learned, and then Cypher told me, Cypher Sound said to me, he said, yo, man, you got to get doubles, bro. What the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, all right. So it's funny how, like, I got into the game and was still learning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, how did you get into the game? How do you go from playing that gig at 14 to... meeting up with Flex?
I swear it was God, man. Like, it was crazy. Like, I found Flex online.
Through what?
His, like, website.
Yeah?
Yeah, I saw his website. His website, and it was just flashing and said, do you want to be in the music business? I'm like, this is some bullshit. This is like this is like when you go to the back of the newspaper and it says if you want, like, a job tuna fishing in Alaska.
Yeah.
You're just like, damn, I need a job, man. This is the only thing that seems to be available is tuna fishing in Alaska. What the fuck? I'm going to call. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Just fucking nuts, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Who does anybody, you know anybody ever went tuna fishing in Alaska? But that shit was very, very, like, the New York Star Ledger, like, newspaper, that shit was always back there. So this shit is flashing, and I'm just like, I'm bored, man. Let me call this bullshit. I was like, hello? Yeah, I want to be in the music business. And it was this girl named Tiki, who's still around, kind of. She, Tiki was like, franchise. Yeah. She's just like, she's like, are you looking for an internship? I'm like, oh, shit, this is real? I'm like, because I feel, and it's funny, because when I started, I was on a street team. Everybody on the street team was from the boroughs, mm-hmm. and everybody knew somebody who hooked them up. Nobody in Irvington was hooking anybody with anything.
Right.
Nobody knew anything. Nobody knew how to do shit but right. Staying your fucking block. Yeah. We had no clue. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for that shit, that's why I say it was God, because it was just flashing.
How often did you make it to the city at that point?
Every day.
Every day.
I had to, yeah.
Before the internship?
No.
Yeah.
No, I would come out sometimes. Shout to AJ from 106 and Park. He was the first person to bring me to a club in
AJ Calloway,
yeah, in New York City. When I was 15, we went to Sticky Mike's. It was the party was Sticky Mike's, but I forget the name of the club. It was it was on Varick Street where Culture Club used to be, and there was reggae all reggae downstairs, and upstairs was classics. DJ Camacho, who was an ill fucking, like, house DJ.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
AJ Calloway.
Yeah.
How do you know him at 15?
We went to high school together.
Did he have the...
Yeah, we used to call him Predator.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, because he looked like... Yeah.
But you know what's crazy? We called him Predator before Star Buckwild did. He was ugly, man. You know, he transferred to my high school as a sophomore. And he knew all the bitches.
Right, yeah.
And he came, you know, he's from the suburbs.
Right.
So, like, he knew all the pretty suburban chicks, and we knew all the toothless hood bitches. So it was just like people wanted to pick on him and things because they knew he was from the suburbs, and mm-hmm. I always stuck up for him. And I'm like, he knows all the bitches. Why are you fucking with him? Yeah. And we became friends.
That's awesome.
I used to sleep in my house. I slept at his house. Like,
crazy.
Like, he was in Mariah Carey's first video. And I don't remember the name of it.
Vision of Love?
But he was in the back playing the drums fake.
What?
Mad off beat. Like, but he always had an in somehow. He always had an in. And I didn't understand it. You know, like, he brought me to my first video shoot.
Which was what?
Young Black Teenagers.
Wow.
Not the first one. The first one was...
Vision of Love?
No. No, man. It was ball drop. You guys are assholes, man. I like it. No disrespect. You know, man. But it was, yeah, it was Roll with the Flavor. And it was at some boxing gym in the Bronx, and Crazy Legs was there. That shit fucked me up. I'm like, Crazy Legs.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on in my life?
Yeah,
and Scribbles was the DJ at the time.
Oh my God.
So they did the scene where all the DJs stood by the DJ set on the boxing ring. And back then it was the jukebox where you could call in and order your videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, I look at this shit every day. I'm like, is this shit out yet? This shit would never come out. And then finally, like months later, shit comes out, and I go to watch it, and it was an entirely different video in a jazz club.
Fuck.
Or some shit. And then I ended up meeting those dudes when I started opening for Flex and Cypher.
Mm-hmm.
I met them at Club Speed, and I'm like, yo man, years ago, man, there was this fucking video. They were like, oh, you know that place burnt down? That's what we did that night.
What?
And they were like, that's how we redid the whole shit.
Oh fuck.
I was like, what's my life? Like, this is weird. Like, it's always like some other shit with me, man.
Who burnt the place down?
I don't know. Maybe it was an insurance job. You know, I don't know what the fuck. Who knows, man? It was in the Bronx, man. Shit's on fire all the time in the Bronx.
So AJ was like, yo, let's go to this club down on Varick. And you went at 15.
Yeah.
What were you looking like at 15 that you were able to get into this club?
I always had a beard, man. I always had facial hair, man. You know?
So then, you never would have You never would have fit in Menudo.
Right? Exactly, man.
Fucking
crazy. I'd have been the most brolic, macho, Menudo member. They thought I was like security or some shit. Fucking crazy.
So you get into the club, and that was a regular thing back then? You're coming to the city regularly?
No. Where I used to go at 15, I used to always go to in Newark, there was a club called Zanzibar that was popping. Zanzibar, Sensations, and those are the main two that I would go to when it was cool to go to a club and listen to music that you never heard before.
Yeah.
And you'd go to the DJ like, what the fuck is that? And then you'd write it down and go to the record store and try to find the same record.
Right. You know one copy, so, not two. Yeah, one copy.
So I was always in those clubs. And then I met such an incredible sidebar, man. I met this fucking badass bitch one time.
Did AJ know her?
With AJ while we were hanging out. AJ were in Washington Square Park handing out flyers for this club. Oh, another club called 280 that was in Newark. And AJ was just like, oh, this is a good way to meet chicks.
Yeah.
So we're in Washington Square Park meeting chicks. And I met this girl named Allie, man. And I fucked her in Washington Square Park.
Whoa.
It was kind of dope.
Did the other five guys
not the same day? Not the same day. Not the same day, but it was like later.
Yeah, the flyer business.
Yeah, I was like, damn man, I'm a G. I don't know, flyer got some pussy. You know, but that was that was a long time ago.
Did you get her two way or whatever?
No, that's a long story with her. See how things pop up.
How is that a long story?
She was just like, I don't have a phone, so just give me your house number and I'll call you and we'll figure it out. So she was incredible. She wasn't like any chick I ever met before, and I'm like, damn, she's bad as shit. She has sex appeal like at a young age. I'm sitting there like, damn, you know, I'm 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, so she told me she was 19.
Mm.
She's like, how old are you? I was like, I'm 19, and I lied about my age.
Sure.
And then I told her, I was boning the shit out of her in my house one time, and my 16th birthday was coming, and she was like, your birthday's just coming tomorrow. And I felt bad, so I told her the truth. I was like, what if I told you I was turning 16? She's like, ha ha, yeah, you're so funny. I was like, I'm really turning 16.
Not that funny.
Yeah. She was like, what? And we're like in Irvington, and she doesn't know how to get back to Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, I would drive you home, but I don't have my license. So like,
she's like, I'm leaving. And she ended up staying, and she was like, fuck it. She was like, I love you, so I want to stay with you.
Wow.
So we continued.
Did she come to the club? That's the most important part. Like, you handed out flyers for her.
Nah. But she had issues. Like, her father used to beat her, and then her mother's boyfriend used to beat her.
Goddamn.
Yeah, it was some wild shit. So she stayed in Jersey City sometimes, or she stayed in Brooklyn. And then she showed me all types of, like, ill shit, of how to, like, rig a pay phone to get free phone calls.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had an interesting life, man. And then she, shout the craziest
Allie.
Shit is 15 years later, I saw her in Times Square.
Randomly? What?
Yeah, and I was like, that looks just like Allie. And she looked like she's still running around. She had a suitcase with her.
You didn't
like,
say hi to her.
Hell yeah.
Oh, you did?
But I wasn't sure, so I was just like, Allie! She was like, I was like, it's her.
Holy shit.
So she came over, and I was like, what's up? She was like, I'm sorry. She was like, I was like, Bobby. She was like, okay.
Aww.
And she was like, I was like, We used to have sex at Washington Square Park. She was like, oh, that was a crazy time of my life.
Fuck.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
How many other people did you fucking Washington Square Park? Holy shit. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I'm like, how old are you now? And we were the same age. So she lied about her age.
Mm.
So all the time she was 19, she was 15, just like me.
Yeah.
But when's your birthday?
Goddamn, I don't know, Allie. But when I asked her, unless she lied there.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Who the fuck knows? I hate liars, man.
Damn. It's
fucking nuts.
You lied about your age.
Yeah.
I know, man. But I repented. Yeah. You
know what I'm saying? So you finally link up with Flex's team.
Yeah.
And, well, you were carrying crates for Syf.
Well, no. I worked for Flex first on the street team for 6 months for free, handing out flyers in the street, rain, sleet, or snow, lava. Alligators, didn't matter. Then you visualized
it,
right?
Yeah.
Well, no, don't step on it. Yeah, it's lava.
I thought you were naming club, so it was like club lava.
280. Alligator was popping and club speed. Yeah.
So after 6 months, I begged for money because I was broke, and I'm just like, I need something, man. Like, I was talking to Paul Knotts. You know if you guys remember Paul Knotts?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Knotts used to run Flex's non-marketing, the street team. Mm-hmm. And he was like an office manager kind of. So he was like, you're from Jersey, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, so you drive, because people from New York don't drive. You have a driver's license. I said, yeah. He was like, I can have you drive the street team van for $75 a week. I was like, whatever, man.
With
I'll do
Flex's,
it.
Flex's like face on the side?
Yeah. Like franchise marketing. They had like two vans and like a dually truck or something. And I did that for 6 months, and then I beat up the garage attendant and got fired.
Oh. Was there good reason to beat him up?
I thought he was coming after me.
Oh,
all right. So, and we had an altercation the week before, because Flex's street team was like a group of derelicts that like used to like terrorize, you know, the poor garage attendant.
I mean, they hung out in Washington Square Park a lot. Yeah. So we all know what they were getting down to.
Man, so what happened was he thought I was the same kind of guy, and I wasn't. I was like, man, I'm here to do my job, man. I just want you to fucking open this fucking gate. When I get here, and I have me wait outside for 45 minutes, because I actually had a day job at the time, too, when I was interning.
What were you doing?
I was fixing computers for a living.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was a computer tech. So.
And so doing that during the day and then at night?
Yeah, from 8 to 4, and then I'd be at Flex's off by 7, and then I'd be back, like, in like on next to my building, sleep, where my roommate would wake me up and say, hey, man, you got to go to work. And I did that for that whole year. Got fired, but I met Cypher at the Hammerstein Ballroom at an Eminem Slim Shady show with The Outsiders. And then I saw him again at Speed, and he was like, so what do you do again? I was like, I work for Flex. He's like, I'm sorry to hear that. You know Cypher. It's fucking Cypher fucking comedy, man. He was so funny, he didn't know he was funny back then. He figured out how to hone that shit and become a comedian. So
yeah.
You know, I'm happy for him. But so I started to work for Cypher for a year.
As in carrying his crates.
And I never told anybody that I wanted to DJ. I always just watched everything and learned from people's mistakes and successes and tried to figure out how to speak to people, because it was just like a bunch of fucking assholes all over the place and weirdos. So, you know, but I knew I had to pay some type of dues.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine actually said in his drunkenness, Cypher, why don't you let Trends get on? He was like, you fucking DJ? Why was you going to fucking tell me? And he's been open. So 6 months in with him, carrying his crates, I started DJing.
So besides carrying the crates, did you have to, like, get money? Did you have to, like...
Whatever he asked. He loves, like... He used to love white girls with big titties. So, like, I used to always, like, have to go find a white girl with a big titty. So that was like, part of my job.
Then what do you say? You're like, hi, I'm Bobby, and...
No, they didn't care about me, so I wouldn't introduce myself. I was a nobody, man. I opened for the fucking opener. You know what I'm saying? Because Cypher's still the opener.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, hey, I was like, it would be like at the tunnel.
Yeah.
Or Speed, and it'd be like, oh, the DJ, Cypher, he wants to meet you. You want to come to the DJ booth? Oh, my God, the DJ booth. You know, and then, you know, and that's how it would happen, man.
It's like going to the cockpit on an airplane.
who were some of the acts who came through and guested at the tunnel at the time?
I was there for the last, like, couple years. Like, so I saw, like, what's really cool is that I graduated from street team guy to driver to I used to hand out the comp tickets in the tunnel. Even before that, I used to have to stand at the door and hand out fucking flyers all
so
night.
So all the white girls with big tits got in.
Actually, it was
every single one.
All the fucking scary ass thugs, man. Because they'd come in and be like, I better get in for free, man. You're going to die. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. I'm just like, my man, like, how do, like, I'm working. Like, how do I defend myself without getting fired again?
Right. You gave away your switchblade. Yeah.
It was fucking crazy, man. It was like, they were like, yo, that guy over there, just make sure you take care of him because he's the guy that supplies all the guns and the vests for all the, like, the everybody.
Yeah. Police Department. Yeah.
So he actually died.
Damn.
He had a heart attack or something, so we could talk about him. It's okay.
So who was coming through? Dipset?
Oh, so no, Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Came through. There was no Dipset at the time. There was Cam'ron.
Yep.
And Jim was his road manager / hype man.
Yep.
He'd come through with 50 Bloods, everybody dressed in red. Like, there was no hiding it. It was like, now let's try our best to wear everything red. You know, so Jim Jones, I actually had to walk Jay-Z and DMX to the backstage area and make sure they got their bottles and that they all walked in. And DMX was cool as fuck. Jay-Z was arrogant as fuck. It was just fine. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
One of the most incredible show that I ever saw in the tunnel was when Exhibit had Bitch Please.
Yep.
The entire West Coast came with him. John Singleton was there.
Because it was a movie.
Yeah. John Singleton was there. Snoop. Dre, Nate Dogg. It was fucking insane. And he was late, so they all performed waiting for him.
With who DJing?
It was our Big Cap.
Yeah.
You know,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Big Cap. It was fucking insane. And I found my way to the back somewhere, backstage, and I was hanging from a pipe on the ceiling. I swear on everything.
Yeah.
My feet on a little ledge, trying not to fall and die. Because it was so packed.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And Snoop, like, yeah, all these Bloods in there, and he's a Crip, and he's got the all blue handkerchief suit on.
Yeah.
Fucking seawalking, and I'm just like, this is, and it was just alcohol splashing, and shit was just fucking insane. That was my fondest memory there.
And I'm sure everything that they were playing was hitting.
Yeah, everything. They did every song.
Yeah.
They did every song. My other biggest shows that I saw that I loved was Dungeon Family, the entire Dungeon Family.
Man.
When the South didn't matter in New York yet, that's when it was starting.
Mm-hmm.
Trick Daddy, and he brought Trina out for the first time. And I was backstage with Trina, and she was nervous with a fat ass. It was just like, I'm so nervous. I was like, it's okay, baby. It's okay, baby. Listen, they love you. We all love you.
How many comp tickets you need?
Yeah, like, whatever you need, baby. You need some more alcohol, baby. Come on, baby. You know, so... So I got to see that. Those are my fondest memories. I saw Mobb Deep. I saw Beat Nuts. I saw, how could I forget this? Nas, when Hate Me Now first came out.
Wow.
Flex made a movie on Friday on the radio. This was like, I think, one of the first movies he really made that like made him create the movies that he's made ever since. Bring the record back 1,000 times. Drop bombs.
Dude, I know where I was when he played in the club for the first time.
Yeah, wound amazing.
It back boom, a million boom, times.
Every time.
Unbelievable.
I was there when he did it. I was there for so much. I was the fly on the wall, literally in Hot 97, because I had to, because I was answering the phones and ordering the sandwiches. I was there. The first time 50 brought the whole G-Unit upstairs to do the freestyle.
And the last time.
Yeah.
And the last time. Shit. I was there when State Property and D-Block had beef. I was there when Jay-Z brought up the Young Gunners.
Oh, my God.
And everybody was, they're only 15.
Yeah.
I actually, and this is a secret flex, I'm sorry, I never told you this. I actually recorded the whole shit and sold it to a bootlegger. His name was Brosco. Brosco, me and Cypher. So it's not just me, Flex, I'm sorry. It was me and Cypher. We sold the shit because we just wanted money for like $150.
Listen, $75 to drive that truck isn't going to make it.
And literally the next morning, it was everywhere. Flex was like, how the fuck did that happen? Damn, I gotta figure out how to do this shit next time for me. She's crazy. It was a bad picture of Flex. It was like the Xerox copied that cover. It was bad, man.
Holy shit.
That was a classic mixtape. You know, I've been there for a lot, man. I can sit and talk to you for days, man.
Wait,
I
so you're stories. You're out there rocking like regularly with Flex. So that's every Friday night and Saturday night?
No, well, oh, this is where it gets a little crazy. So Cypher said to me when I was working for Cypher, Cypher said to me, "Hey, man, would you be interested in coming to the station to work for Flex?" I'm like, "Hell, fucking yeah!" I was like, "But how are we gonna do it?" He fired me. He's like, "Well, I gotta kind of like sneak you back up there." And in 2 years, I'd never ever been to the radio station. I wasn't allowed in the lobby. I had to sit outside. If he said, be outside at noon, I'd sit there and wait till 2 in the morning sometimes until he came out.
Here's the secret to getting into Hot 97. Be a member of the Carpenters Union.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. What is that? Like, yeah, man. They camp out. You see the tents? Yeah, that shit is fucking crazy. So he brought me upstairs, and he says, Flex, he's like, this is the funny shit is they called me Roberto back then because when I filled out the application for the street team, I was going to put Trends.
Yeah.
So I put Roberto.
Yeah.
And there was no Bobby Trends yet. And he looks at me. He's like, didn't I fire you? The first words he said to me in 2 years. And I said, yeah. He was like, Cypher, why are you bringing loose dudes up here, man? Wow. Shouldn't be like washing your truck or making you a sandwich or some shit?
Wow.
And I was standing there, and he was just like, I was a straight face. He said, that doesn't bother you? I was like, nah, man, I've been through worse things in my life. I'm cool. He's like, are you cool? You tough? And I'm sitting, I was like, nah, not at all, man. And he's like, Cypher, get him the fuck out of here. So he was like, that went well. And the whole time Cypher was like, oh shit, this isn't working. It's not working. You know, so Cypher convinced him. He was like, Cypher was working at Tommy Boy at the time, and he Nelly just became huge. So the idea was to find rappers from the Midwest now.
Yeah.
So he went and found Cuckoo Cal.
Yeah.
In my projects, and had to go to Milwaukee like back and forth all the time. So he was just like,
he didn't have to go to Milwaukee. He got to go.
He
Milwaukee.
Got to. Yeah. Right? So he did all that shit and he needed somebody to fill in. So Flex agreed. And I would do it randomly, and he would never speak to me. It was just like, you stay there, and you wait until he's done. The show's over at 12, but he may not leave. He might get on the phone, because he gets on the phone until 2, 3 in the morning sometimes. And when you see him walk out is when it's time for you to put his shit away, and then you go. So I did all of that. And Cypher ended up like falling in love with this chick, and ended up like going to studio every day and stopped showing up. And I would call Cypher every day. I'm like, Cypher, you're bugging the fuck out. Like, what are you doing? Like, Flex is looking at you funny. I'll leave him messages. He wouldn't pick up. And eventually Flex said that wasn't his job anymore. And he said, that's your job. And I was like, fuck.
First words he says to you again.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, fuck. So like, it was crazy because I had just finally convinced Cypher into coming upstairs. So he came upstairs, and then I show up anyway. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, if I know you're coming, I want to game. And I'm just like, I talk to you, man. So I pull him aside. I said, Flex said this isn't your job anymore. He's like, what do you mean? Whose job is it? And I was like, so I want to talk to you. Like, what do you think we should do? He said, what do you mean? What the fuck do you think we should do? And I told Cypher, I said, do you want to like order the sandwiches and answer the phones for the rest of your life? You have to move up.
Yeah.
They started the Pitbull Hour on Sundays. It was Cypher, Big Cap, and Jay Grand, and I was kind of there. So I'm like, you starting your radio shit. Like, if you don't move up, I don't move up. So I'm thinking about myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let me order the sandwiches, bro. You know what I'm saying? And and we didn't speak for a year.
You and Cypher?
Yeah, we didn't speak for a year because I took the fucking job.
Wow. What, you know what sandwiches does Flex like?
Well, it wasn't literally sandwiches, but it was like, you know, Chinese food and chows eventually sometimes. Yeah. And
wow, like a year of not speaking.
Yeah.
But you got that job, though.
Yeah, but then we got cool. You know, we got cool. I mean, I used to sleep in this fucking house, man. Like, I used to send them all the white girls with the big titties. Like, how are you not going to be my friend, man? Like,
but more importantly, did AJ Calloway sleep at his house?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, man. You remember all the fucking weird details, man.
So when did you first get on the box?
10 years ago.
11 years ago.
It was on Cypher's show.
The Saturday one?
The Saturday show, mm-hmm. The Mo' Fire Mix.
Yeah.
Which he stole from Khaled. It's fucking crazy. So Flex was doing the car shows, and I was running the car shows. And he said to me, he said, Cypher's not going to be here this Saturday. I want to fill in for Cypher. I was like, how the fuck do you fill in for anybody? You never fill in for anyone. What are you talking about? He said, there's a big car show in Atlantic City Saturday, and our car show is next Saturday in Atlantic City. So we're going to fucking make a movie all day Saturday and shout the car show while everybody's sitting in fucking traffic on the way to Atlantic City so that next week our shit's going to be crazy. I was like, that's a great idea. He's like, but I need you to do the mix because I'm not doing the mix. I was like, what do you mean you want me to do the mix? He's like, you know, the DJ, why can't you do the mix? I'm like, I don't work here, Flex. I'm like, yo, this is my fucking station. Like, you're going to do the mix. I said, all right. He's like, just don't talk. I said, all right. So I played like all reggae music, like, because that was Cypher shit.
Yeah.
Which Cypher used to he couldn't stand reggae music.
Really? At one
point. And I used to play the reggae. He used to make me play the reggae. Anyway, sidebar. So I did that. And at the end of the show, he said, that was Bobby Trends, everybody, because I killed it. And he was now proud to say that I did it.
Yeah.
And the following Monday, Enough snitched on me to Ebro, and Ebro cursed me the fuck out.
Whoa.
Who the fuck said you could be in my fucking airwaves? Who the fuck are you? And Enough was like, like, you fucking sucker. I hated Enough for like a half a second. I really thought that he had it out for me, but it was just like a hazing process, because mm-hmm. I do the same thing to like new guys.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. I hope they don't hate me. If they do, so the fuck what?
Yeah, but, watch out, Drewski. Yeah. Who had the nicest cars at the car show? Birdman?
Oh man, the biggest car show was the second one. The first one was in the Meadowlands Convention Center. It was 15,000 people. The second year we did Raceway Park, we did 40,000 people.
Wow.
And it became a battle.
Right.
So it was Wyclef versus Swiss Beatz versus Busta Rhymes versus Diddy versus Birdman.
Yeah.
So Swiss Beatz brings like the bus?
No, didn't he have a fire truck then?
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
The fire truck. Wyclef brought a fucking Bigfoot. Like, monster truck with a remote control, and killed it and had that shit jumping up and down. We were like, oh shit!
By the way, imagine if he brought his motorcycle.
My God. That was crazy. Birdman had all like the hood whips, the luxury hood whips, but he had them on reds as his blood.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It was kind of cool. Dipset was there too. They all had like 645s before they came out.
Whoa.
650s or whatever the fuck it was at the time. That was cool, but it was like nothing special. But what, other than seeing them for the first
what
time.
What were you pushing then?
I had a Suburban.
Okay.
Me, Flex, his security, we all had Suburbans, and we all had the same rims. It was different color Suburbans.
Where'd you get your
rims? I actually
from?
Had two. It was a place, it was the rims were called OZs.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot where we ordered them from, but they were like $15,000 rims, and we all had like three pair because they used to always like bend.
Right.
And I wasn't a big DJ yet, but I was making so much money off of mixtapes and Flex's car shows. I bought my first house back then.
Wow.
You know, and I remember we used to pull up to the clubs, and Flex was just like, just double park in the front and leave the hazards on. I'm like, Flex, we're going to get a ticket. He was like, yeah, give tickets to Liz on Monday, and she'll make sure that everybody gets their shit paid.
Holy shit.
So we used to just pull up. His was fire truck red. I had a black Yukon XL, but I also had a gold Suburban. And his security G had a forest green Suburban.
All parked out front.
Yeah, with all the same rims. It was amazing.
You guys got so many tickets, and you literally funded New York City.
Yeah, we used to just hand them to his assistant on Monday, and she would pay for them.
Shouts to Liz. So,
Liz, Isaac, you're the best.
Shit, so, man. You're finally on the radio. You're finally accepted, seemingly, by Ebro and Enough and Flex. Or does that take a little while?
Nah, all that took a while, man. Because, of course, he cursed me out first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took, like, another year.
To earn your stripes?
Yeah, to get on the radio. Like, I actually tried to, like, warm up to Ebro, and he shit on me. I was like, hey, man, like, I was just... I'll never forget, it was Lean Back Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the Puerto Rican Day Parade float, and we got kicked off the parade because the shit was leaning too much. It was dangerous. It's actually really leaning. Because due to Rock Away, man, all these big motherfuckers, the whole terror squad leaning this whole shit back and forth. You know, so they kicked us off. And we had to all, like, like disperse and find our way to the fucking subway, and we had to get Angie to safety.
Yeah,
she was like in the truck. She left, and then me, Ebro, and like a bunch of us were in the subway. And I looked at Ebro, and I was like, "This is the perfect time to talk to him." So I go say, "Hey, man, I feel like me and you were cool at one point," and then things went kind of left. And he was just like, and I said, "I'm just kind of like, I had to humble myself." So yeah. I'm just like, "Hey, man, I'm just letting you know I'm here for the long run." I said, "I'm not asking for any handouts." I said, "If you know, if there's anything that I need to do, you know, like you need help with anything, I'm here for that." And he was like, opened up his phone, and was like, "Hello." Walked away from me. I wanted to jump in front of the train.
Yeah.
You know, so like, so then a year later, Flex needed me to cover his Friday night show. It was 10 to 2 a.m. at the time. And he was like, "Can you do it?" I'm like, 4 hours? Holy shit. Yeah, I'm with it. I didn't even question it. And I was already like fucking the clubs up. I was nice. I was doing like Cheetah and Club Envy and all these clubs, DJing and making myself hot. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ready." And I wasn't ready. Anyway, so he, I was like, "Are you going to ask Ebro this time?" He's like, "I don't ask anybody anything. I tell them. So I'm going to tell him. And he's going to say yes." I was like, "Okay." So he told him. And I was allowed. So I did it. And I fucked up really bad. And at the end of the night, at 2:01, he forwards me an email from Ebro, says, "Bobby Trends, never again. He will never be on the radio."
Oh.
Yeah.
So how the hell do you get back on?
It just took persistence. Shit, I wish it was that easy. Fuck, I was gonna pay for all that shit.
We have lots of good ideas here.
Just, you guys are fucking thugs, man. That's what you got, man. You know? But hey, it was just, it took a while, man. It took like a whole another fucking another year, you know? So it I was like on like the mixed weekends, and then after the mixed weekends, a year of mixed weekends, they hired me in Cast One the same day.
Wow!
Yeah, and it was crazy because I told myself, I said, "Man, like I this is why I have this notepad is because I write things into existence." So the second I started writing things into existence, they started to work for me, and I haven't written in the last year, so I'm back to writing because I had a rough year. So I wrote into existence. I said, if I'm not an employee of the radio station by this next birthday, I'm going to sell socks. Or whatever, I'm going to do something else, but I'm going to be good at it. But I got to switch my focus.
Right. By the way, you would be a great
incredible
sock seller.
Yeah, sock seller. Yeah. I'd be the fucking best sock seller.
Like now that I think about it, way better than a DJ.
I might start selling socks on the side anyway, because now I've conquered the DJ thing. Let's make some money.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
Let's do a collab. Boy.
Listen, shake the sock, sock, sock. Yeah.
So.
Shake the motherfucking socks.
So you finally get in the good graces of everyone at Hot 97. Yeah, you're able to walk up there and have no problem.
Yep.
Now I'm sure you get a lot of artists knocking down your door, like, "Oh shit, well, he's part of the crew."
Well, they've been for a long time, and it wasn't ever about being part of Hot 97
or that you're part of the Pitbulls, or
it was really the Flex thing, because when I opened for Flex, I was his young ear. So I've assisted in breaking artists like Dipset, you know. I've been to the studio with them. I helped pick songs, you know. Jim Jones has said it 3 times on the radio: if it wasn't for Bobby Trends, I don't know where I'd be. You know, Cameron was mad at me for helping Jim Jones so much. You know, then Joel Santana wanted help. Then J.R. Ryder wanted help. Then Rel wanted help. Then Max B wanted help. Then Max B went to jail. Then Max B was calling me from jail, shitting on Jim Jones. Then I had to shit back and say, "I met you because of Jim." Then French Montana comes around, and Max B told him that I was instrumental in Dipset. And then Fat Joe wanted me to meet French Montana. Then it was weird. Then it was, you know, then I was like, he knew how tight I was with Jim. How do you work with French? You know, and then we found a happy medium where I could be friends with both, you know, or associates at least. And I've been on the road with Jim Jones. I've been on the road with French. I've been on the road with Lil' Kim. I've been on the road with Busta Rhymes. I've been to Africa and back, you know. I was instrumental in helping those guys, you know.
How come you did not help Dipset artists like Zsa Zsa?
Oh, my God, because I never liked her. She was always terrible. She was whack as fuck. Like, but I would say things like that. I'd tell him, I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" You know what I'm saying? Like Stack Bundles.
Yeah.
I helped when Stack was signed to Clue, when he left him, when he cut him loose.
Mm-hmm.
I brought him in. You know, I'm like, Stack, you I'm a fan. I'm gonna bring him to High 97. You're gonna rap. You're gonna freestyle against J.R. Ryder and J. Mills. Mm-hmm. I have it on video still.
You didn't boot like that?
Nah. Well, actually, I was putting mixtapes up by then, so I made it a mixtape. You know, I still have them. I'll bring you some next time, man. I should have brought you some shit.
No,
man.
All good. Yeah, no, you should have brought some stuff.
I had to shake the black t-shirt.
Did you go to Jimmy's Broadway debut?
No.
We were there.
Yeah. Jim fell off the stage.
Yeah. No fucking way.
Yeah. Ah! He was trying to go across the lip of the stage, and then there was some
like
stairs.
A stairwell. Yeah.
And he just went down.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Angela Yee. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. That was funny.
Yeah. Not for Jim.
Did he make it look cool at least?
No.
No? Oh, man.
I think he might have just popped up.
Yeah, he sort of popped up. Yeah.
Like puffed it at the
BET Awards. Yeah.
That's fucking
cool. What clubs do you really miss now? Like, do you miss M2? Do you miss Speed?
I miss
besides the Tunnel, obviously.
I miss Cheetah. I miss Club Envy. Those clubs.
Just the energy or the people there?
People
or?
Danced.
Yeah.
They had a good time. Like, they didn't just stand around. You know, I missed The Shadow.
Where was that?
The Shadow was just a couple years ago on 28th Street. It's like, it was like the old man club. It was like 40 and olders in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to Club Imperial also.
Which is where we met you.
I started the live broadcast there. You guys were for the live. You guys were there for the live broadcast?
We were there one time. It was for Miss Info's birthday.
Oh, shit.
And Angie was in the booth.
Damn, I remember that, but I didn't remember it was at Imperial.
Mano came through.
Yeah, shouts to, what's Cam's video guy's name?
Oh, right. Yeah, who got video of us. Yeah.
Now What?
Yeah, Now What?
Yeah.
Now What.com.
Now What's still around. It's fucking crazy.
No, shouts to him. He shot us, and we were like Harlem shaking on top of the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And DJ Nuff was just like, "Yo, you believe these guys?" And Mano saw us. And
I remember you guys. That was a vivid moment in my career.
Same here.
I'm like, who the fuck are these two white boys? They acting crazy, man.
And like Angie was shouting us out from the booth, and like, and we'd
like,
never
miss info, so they gotta be important.
Yeah. Opposite of.
Yeah.
But and then we I remember we went to Sife's comedy show at Comics,
mm-hmm.
and you were there too. And I remember you like waving, and like I was like, I don't think we've ever met.
You guys stand out, man.
A little bit.
Hip hop clubs, man. I'll tell you something. One thing, I feel like I have a great judge of character. I don't fuck with everybody. I get energy from people when I first meet them.
Mm-hmm.
So energy is always great with you guys. I didn't really know what the fuck you guys did. I had no fucking idea, but it seemed important.
Just like our family, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, these guys are cool, man. Like, and I'm mad it took this long for us to get together.
No, it's really. Yeah, no, we appreciate you coming through.
All good, man.
But so now you're established, and you're a pit bull. You're breaking songs for all these amazing artists.
No.
You've traveled the whole thing. What's the formality like when Khaled asks you to be a part of We the Best?
Oh, it's amazing. I'll tell you something. I wrote it into existence.
What'd you say?
I wrote it. You know, I always talk about my right thing.
Yeah.
I said, because I realized how my relationship with him started and grew. And I saw him growing. And he saw me growing. He was growing at a much faster pace. And he was like a big brother to me. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down, I said, I have a feeling that there's going to be more with me and Khaled. I said, I'm going to be a part of We the Best Music. I wrote it down. It's amazing how God works and how the universe works and the energy. I wrote it down. And then Young Sav.
Yeah, shout out to Sav.
Who I came up with also. He used to be a board op at Hot 97.
That's
He's
right.
Fat Man Scoop's little brother.
Yeah.
You know, he worked at Def Jam and then became MMG VP.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all of it. And he always was close to Khaled. And he was like, yo, Khaled really likes you, man. And he kept saying, I'm like, I know something's about to happen. And I wrote it down. And whenever he'd come to town, he'd always call me. And I'd always, you ever see that? I have a viral video of Khaled. I don't know if you saw it.
Which one?
The sneaker one. It's my biggest video ever. and it was when the sneaker game was kind of like at a place.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to my little brother, man. He was always on social media early. He knew about Twitter before hip-hop, 3 years before hip-hop knew about it. Because mm-hmm. he used to be a journalist. He used to write and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, he's like, they got these flip cams now. He said, you got to get a flip cam and start doing interviews. Social media is important.
Right.
People want to know what you're doing. I'm like, nobody wants to fucking know what I'm doing. Like, there's a video of me shitting on, like, the music industry, like, record promoters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first video, and I'm, like, in a dirty T-shirt. I just woke up, and he's videotaping. I'm like, why are you videotaping me with my phone conversation? And he put it on my blog at the time that was coming together,
mm-hmm.
and it ended up on This Is 50. You know, the video with Khaled was my brother insisting on me. He's like, Khaled's here. Go just ask him 5 questions. So I thought of 5 questions, and the one question turned into a movie. It was, what are the last 3 sneakers you bought?
Oh, my God.
And then we're in the Ritz-Carlton in the fucking penthouse, and he has nothing but sneaker boxes everywhere in plastic bags.
Yeah.
And he starts talking to his guy, Fat Boy, 911, send me another one. And he threw it, and I caught it. And then he caught it. He's like, this you wear with a pair of gray sweats. You know what I'm saying? Like,
by the way, that's a good Khaled.
That's a really good Khaled. Yeah.
So you gotta watch it. Go to just, if you YouTube Khaled Bobby Trends,
yeah.
On the Road sneaker collection. Because all the sneakerheads started to shit on it. Oh man, he got regular shit. I'm like, he has 500 pairs of sneakers on the road. What are you talking about? Like, imagine what he has at home.
How does he like transport all of them? Because he has, you know, buses and whatever.
It was on a bus.
Yeah.
So the crazy shit was that,
I guess that wasn't a very interesting question.
After that, it's crazy. Cause remember when his bus caught fire?
Yeah.
He lost all his sneakers.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me, man. I'm a little jealous, man.
Yo,
I was like,
first was that club up in the Bronx. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
starting to sense a pattern here. Yeah. Bobby Trends is on fire.
So. You guys have like an extreme like attention thing. Like, it's kind of weird, man. Like, I don't know if it's like a like ADD, ADHD, or if it's the extreme opposite.
Or no one else pays attention except for us.
You
like,
guys are super attention, man. Like, I'm fucked up.
It's
with
all
attention.
Fake.
I gotta write shit down and remember shit, man. Like, you motherfuckers, you don't got no notepad or nothing.
Oh no, this is like, I will stop caring about any of this as soon as you leave.
a couple quick things here. Did you ever meet Ben Kicks?
No.
Like, oh, you know, Khaled.
I never met him.
The Shoe Connect guy.
But I'll tell you, like, I don't want to take credit for it, man, but I feel like people weren't really paying attention to Khaled and his sneakers until I put that video up. Because when I put it up on my website, it hit World Star.
Oh.
So that's how it became
viral.
You did
This Is 50 and World Star, and
yeah,
so away you go.
Fucking went to
you
World
had
Star.
Had a bunch of like Eastern European commenters.
Yeah, exactly.
I had no beard. This is before beard. BB. Whoa. I look like a fucking penguin. You know what I'm saying? This was fucking crazy. Watch the video. I got a Pele jacket on.
Who were you?
And an oversized Yankee fitted.
Yeah,
no
low.
On my face.
You were Papoose.
I was Papoose. Yeah. Thugger. I was shit was wrong with me.
Do you have any good K-Slay stories?
Oh yeah, tons of K-Slay stories, man. Global Spin Awards last year. Me and him were about to fight security together.
What happened?
Somebody disrespected him, man. And he had one of his female friends with him that I respect, and I saw that they were giving him a hard time, and he said something in his K-Slay voice, like, fuck you or something. and then I'm sitting here, and he got, like, his leather on, and I'm sitting there with, like, a tuxedo jacket on. And I'm sitting there like, Slay, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he said, these motherfuckers ain't showing me respect. Well, about something. He's talking to me fucking crazy. Yo, he put his fucking hands on me. He's like, put his hand. And then, like, all of a sudden, all these security guys came, and I saw Slay get out of, like, he was about to get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want him to get out of control, so I started yelling. And I was like, nobody fucking touch Slay. Nobody fucking touch K-Slay. And I sat and, like, I put my back to, like, everybody, just put my arms up. And Slay was just standing there like that. He couldn't believe it because that, like, on the following Thursday night, he was like, shout out to Bobby Trends, man. He's a real one. Mm. I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that was my last K-State story. But,
wow.
But we had a couple. I did all of his, like, Straight Stunt magazine release parties.
Yeah?
In Manhattan at my live broadcast parties.
Dope.
Yeah, man.
We have, I feel like those have a lot of stories.
Oh, yeah. Plenty, man. It was
we have one good K-Slay story, which was like 2007. I mean, we were just like starting.
Did
out,
anybody
right?
get slapped?
I guess we might have almost
got slapped. Oh my god.
we
was not happy to see
we went
his
to
favorite DJ.
We went to we went to Atlantic, the old Atlantic building at 1290, and we were in the lobby. We were going to go upstairs for something, and we had our camera with us because we were doing, like, sketches at the time, right?
No, we were doing interviews. We were interviewing Lupe Fiasco.
Oh, that's what it was. We were going upstairs to meet Lupe. And we saw K-Slay, you know, waiting downstairs. And we're like, oh, shit. Like, because, you know, we're not, it's not like, you know, it's the real now where we can go, like, anywhere in the city. This was just like, holy shit. Like, the first person, like, that we see is K-Slay. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we're like, yo, can we get a drop? Because that was, like, the big thing back then. Like, yo, can we get a video drop and have you say something, right? And so he comes over, and he's like, what's going on? Like, we're like, oh, we just want a drop. If you know, could do that, take, like, 2 seconds to say, like, hey, I'm with It's the Real, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that because I'm eating the hot dog right now. And I don't want to, like, you know, to have any shit on my, like, shirt or whatever. And we're like, oh. I mean,
messy eater, right?
I guess that makes sense, all right? So we leave. We go do the Lupe shit. A couple days later, a video goes online
where he is sitting on the toilet and yelling about...
He was eating a bowl of cereal while he's on the toilet. Because Papoose was fighting with... Was it Uncle Murda? Remember that?
And there was, like, a Buffy the Body thing, and yeah.
And so he's on the toilet eating cereal, yelling, and it's a video, like, it's not like it was, like, a
wreck. I see this video?
Oh, it's... Well, actually, it's not online anymore, I don't think, but it was for a long time. And we're just like, you can do that?
But you can't do a drop for us.
Can't they shout that it's the real? Yeah. Some crumbs on your chest.
Damn, Slay.
Slay.
Would you still bring him up for an interview?
Oh, my God.
Of course.
Hell yes.
Maybe I'll make that happen.
No, please do. Please.
No, you got to make that AJ Calloway thing happen.
No, that really has
you
to happen.
You want AJ?
Yeah. We've been reaching out.
He does not return emails.
Oh, no. Well, he probably just doesn't understand. But, yeah, you guys are pretty fucking big out here.
No, hey. Where is the weirdest place that someone has asked you to, like, take their mixtape or their, like, you know, single or something?
The weirdest place that someone,
like, asked not me. Waiting outside of Hot 97.
Oh, somebody's trying to give me music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The weirdest place that someone try to
they find you at, like, the grocery
music.
Store or, like,
oh, that, like, happens all the time. Like, so it's not really weird because it happens all the time. Right. Like,
I think the
urinal,
eating cereal and talking.
Sometimes it still surprises me because it's like, I guess I give myself less credit than I deserve sometimes. So I'll be somewhere and when somebody offers me music, I'll just be like, "Oh shit!" Like, I guess I matter, type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so. I mean, I'm a little more full of myself now, but, like, I want to say, like, a year ago or 2 years ago, I was just like, why does anybody want to give me their music? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just always undersold myself, man. I know I'm good at what I do, but, like, as far as, like, people knowing me, like, I think still people know me more by the radio and not my face. You know, that's just, like, a radio thing, like the regular masses,
mm-hmm.
you know. But now I can, like, I go to, like, a store and somebody wants to take a picture. It's kind of cool. You know, a little weird, but I was at Cuban Pete's. It's a Cuban restaurant in Montclair, New Jersey, and I brought my parents there because they were visiting. And the waiter in, like, it's a Cuban restaurant. He has, like, a guayabera shirt on and, like, a Cuban hat. And he comes over. He's like, can I talk to you for a second? I'm just like, sure, what's up? What's your big mustache? He's like, I'm a rapper. I'm like, I was like, you're a rapper. I was like, and he did it, like, in front of my parents. So,
wow.
So I never realized that they never saw it. Mm-hmm. So when they saw it, they were like, oh shit.
That's awesome.
Like, it's kind of like kind of cool. But that's like the regular me, like,
right,
moment.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a regular guy, man, end of the day.
So anybody could come up and talk to you.
Yeah, I have no problem with that,
like,
man.
Like some dude on the street or Zsa Zsa.
You know who tried to give me a mixtape one time and I shit on him? Chameleonaire. Before it was Riding Dirty and I didn't I shit on him. But it wasn't because I was being a dick. It's because I was actually like in the middle of a beef at the Mixtape Awards. You know, I was at the Mixtape Awards and I was about to get into like a big fight with somebody.
The parking attendant?
Nah. And it was at Club Speed. It was at Club Speed. It's crazy. It was another DJ. I don't even shout him out.
Yeah.
And he's done. So it doesn't matter. I just remember everybody was trying to give me mixtapes. So the guy was trying to give me a mixtape, and my road manager at the time, T, had said to me, he's like, yo, man, you were a real dick to that last guy. And I'm like, was I? I didn't mean to. Look, I'm angry.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mean to. Like, he was like, yo, like, he could be somebody one day. I'm like, what's his name? He's like, Chameleonaire. I was like, oh, a Chameleonaire, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then he fucking got a fucking Grammy or some shit off of Ryan Dirty. It was a lesson for me. I said, you know, even though no matter how you are in your feelings, you kind of got to still make sure you pay attention to what's going on around you and try to stay level-headed.
My copy of Riding Dirty is from Young Sav and Steve-O's
Best of Both Offices
Volume 2. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So you didn't shit on Chameleonaire.
I did not shit on Chameleonaire.
Okay.
I'm an asshole. So 2016 for you, you feel was like not a great one. It's past, and you're ready to start anew. Yeah, what's this year going to bring for you?
This year is incredibleness.
What have you written down?
I'm still writing. Yeah. So far, I've opened up a barbershop. I'm opening up a chain of them.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's Sevens Barbershop. I actually partnered up with somebody in the first one. The second one, I'm going to do downtown Newark. That's the plan. I'm writing it down. I want to do some in the boroughs. So that's one. Two, I actually started managing an artist. I don't want to talk much about him yet because I kind of like keep certain things under wraps until it's ready. Mm-hmm. I've actually reached out to two producers already that I want to manage also. One thing that I never did was I always was instrumental in helping people produce their records. I've been around and helped pick records, and musically I think I'm great at creating things, but I never knew how to use the machines. I actually bought equipment to start producing.
Wow.
So that's an exclusive because I wasn't going to tell anybody. I can't believe I told Kenny. I said, Kenny, I'm not telling anybody, but I'm doing it. But I'm,
you fool, look what you've done.
damn it. but I'm not going to be ready to share anything for a while.
Will you use Bobby Trends as your producer name, or are you going to be like Hal and beat Novocaine and do that stuff?
Billy?
Yeah.
Billy! I thought about it. I was thinking about like Shake Beats or something. Yeah. But I'll push Bobby Trends. It'll be like Shake the Block Music. I'm looking at a couple of artists. I want to start a label. So that's, those things. There's some other things. I'm trying to remember what. I had Shake the Block clothing out for a while, but I think streetwear kind of fell off. So I'm not revisiting that. I mean, I feel like it'll come back. So when it's time, I'll get back to it. To me, the blogs are done. Yeah. I did that before Flex, and used to tell Flex you should do a blog, and he's like, "Fuck blogs."
Well, he was right. No, he said he invented the internet.
No, that's true.
He invented the internet. He said that.
He always said, he's no, like, "I invented snapbacks, he said, all that stuff."
I'm so digital.
He said, but like all that stuff.
Yeah.
That I actually put a couple of DJs down on the team. Also, I'm not trying to start a DJ team,
right?
But
I mean, you're already part of two.
Yeah, right. But Shake the Block is like. Shake the Block is a movement of people. I want to say influencers. As long as you are good at what you do or you love it enough to make it grow, I'm definitely looking for more people. I have tattoo artists. I have BMX guys, dirt bike guys, DJs, sneakerheads. I have goons,
couple dogs,
a dog, so it's just guys that love what they do, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like what my team is about, I'm actually opening a studio. I'm thinking about that. Well, I'm not thinking about, I'm doing it. I put the budget together, so I'm doing that. I don't know.
Is everything going to be done in your barbershop? Like, can you have like a studio? No. And the because
no, Khaled has a studio and Champs and next Champs, to each other. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. But,
like, across the street from here, where Jeff goes to get his haircut,
they also sell gold.
Yeah.
And they also gold. Yeah, and they also buy antiques, I guess. Yeah. Like they, I don't know. They keep adding things to.
You
like,
have a leather coat. Design. We have cow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like,
whatever you want. You have your Pelly Pal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you case like
yeah.
You know that I actually have a radio show in St. Louis on Radio 1.
Nice.
I'm actually thinking about concentrating on it now because I haven't in the last year.
But shout out to everyone who's you know yeah. working on that out there.
Radio tip for me is a great media outlet, but it's not my main focus. I kind of just go up there and coast, you know, like and use it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I never focused on making it a tattoo on my body. You know, so I always. I think people go to radio sometimes they get there and then lose focus on what they are and rely too much on it. So this is my focus, Shake the Block. And I want my logo to be bigger than their logo.
Especially in that ball drop video. Go check that out right now. Exactly. Yo, Trends.
The attention you guys have.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks, man.
Happy New Year.
I had fun. Yeah. Happy New Year too, man.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, if people want to find out more about this podcast of ours, if people want to find out what's going on February 23rd at SOBs, where should they go?
You can always go to twitter.com/itsthereal. We are also on Instagram at itsthereal. We are on Facebook at itsthereal. We are on SoundCloud, most importantly for this podcast, at A Waste of Time. And also we are on iTunes.
Go to iTunes.
If you search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real, we are there.
We are. Live and direct.
We are not live. We are definitely direct.
So taped. Yeah. So taped. You know this podcast doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go an inch if we don't tell our listeners to spread the word, tell your friends and family about what goes on a weekly basis. And that's why we like to do the first step, which is tell our friends. So which friend would you like to tell?
I want to tell Rory, our friend Rory over at...
I'll name this podcast later?
Yeah, well, that very same. And he also has a real job, so I was gonna
don't shout out his real
say,
job.
Yeah, I was going to say the real job.
Don't shout out his real job.
But shouts to Rory. Rory's always been a great friend. We're going to get him up on the podcast soon.
Just a good guy.
Really, really good guy. One of my favorite people in the industry.
I'd like to shout out one of the greatest comments that we have received on iTunes. And shout out to everybody who's been leaving comments and great ratings on iTunes. It's so important to the success of this podcast. This is from a guy named Lenz Anderson. And he left it just before the new year. Shout out to Lenz. He said, Eric and Jeff are the best at this podcast game. I love Tax, Nori, Combat, even Rap Radar. But It's the Real are the ones I'm checking for every single week. Great job on the 12 days of podcast. That's no easy task, and you guys killed it. Would love to hear y'all interview Big Body Bez, Plain Pat, or Childish Major. Can't wait to hear 2 Chainz in 2017. P.S. This is the most important part. I want to thank y'all for interviewing Bodega Bands. After hearing he wanted to write a script about his father's life, I introduced my girlfriend, who is a screenwriter, to Ola, and now we've actually got something cracking off for 2017. Keep up the great work, guys. We will. Shout out to Lynn. Shout out to everyone who's listening. We'll see you next week.